Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. You know how to get aboard. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. The Astros did take 3 of 4 against the Orioles and have a 2-game lead in the American League West. But the Mariners also won 2 of 3 over the weekend. So no ground gained by the Astros these last couple. The Texans also wrapped up their preseason, which, if you've heard me say it before, I think it is BS. But it was a nice, convincing win to wrap things up 26-7. Honestly, the only concern I have coming out of that game is who the hell's their long snapper. But it's over, and soon we'll have real football on our hands. And I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. But we still have like 10 days. So 10 days of the worst month of the baseball season. And I'm hoping that we get more stories like this because it's a bit of a tired story. I'm not talking about Shedeur Sanders here. But it keeps happening. And no one's gotten hurt yet. And I don't know that anyone ever will get hurt at buy one of these flying devices, but it's not just a WNBA problem anymore. This invasion that's taking place. We saw green devices that some would use to take themselves to Happy Town thrown on the field at a Titans-Vikings preseason game and at the PGA FedEx Cup. Tommy Fleetwood winning. Story 1A, Story 1B, flying green object. How long is this going to keep going?
I mean, football season's about to start.
It's going to be throughout football season.
Yeah, college, pros.
The WNBA is the league that has been the most incensed by this. And they are facing an audience increase that I don't think they were really ready for, but I can understand the WNBA getting ticked off because it seems to be happening there, but now it's happening everywhere. And now I think this is going to be an all-season thing. We'll see it more for football. We'll definitely see it for baseball at some point. Someone at Dykin Park is going to do it. Don't do it, by the way, but somebody at Dykin Park is going to do it. They're going to have a few too many drinks. Maybe it's an El Tiempo margarita for $300. Maybe it's something else. And then they're gonna let it fly. And I don't know if Dykin Park will do some sort of investigation. Who was the one who brought this in? How did they smuggle it in? What did they do? Was it just in their pocket? Do they have really big pockets? Did they use another kind of pocket, if you get my drift? There's a lot of questions I have about how it could theoretically get into the stadium. But we're definitely not done. And I do not buy into this idea that there's some like random crypto coin that is behind all of this. No, I think that people saw it happen and now they all want to participate in the fun. But what is really so fun about this? Like, is this actually fun? You're bringing a device that looks like a Ram-a-Lama Ding Dong that some use for taking themselves to Happy Town. You let the thing fly. Ha ha.
Yeah.
I mean, the payoff is ha ha for some. Others are going to be disgusted, But I don't think the outrage that it is a byproduct of this is enough to even get a payoff or your kicks and your bleeps and giggles if you're a troll. Like, what is the payoff for the people that are doing this?
It's also something where we've now just seen it so much. And, like, we've seen it on a football field before.
Yeah.
We've seen it
the
on
the Bills.
Yeah, we've seen it with the Bills.
The Bills so, always have, like, a pink one.
Yeah. I think part of it, too, is that a basketball, throwing on a basketball court is more, A, more disruptive because, like, they have to stop the game at that point.
Yeah, they do.
Where if you throw it on a football field, like, chances are it's just going to be 60 yards away from the action.
And someone will pick it up. And, I mean, impressive arm to get it to the field, but someone will pick it up and it'll be moved to the side.
Yeah,
and
it just kind of life goes on.
Yeah. Where's it going to happen next? Because it's happened at an NFL game now. It's happened at golf. I do think, I don't have a great deal of respect for the game of golf. It's a sport I've mastered. It's more because of the snooty country club mentality.
Paul, you're an elitist douche that went to private schools his whole life. You don't like it?
No, I like to pretend I'm a member of the proletariat, and I do not like that golf course, country club, just vibe. Same thing with tennis. So I do think it's kind of funny that it's happening there, but I'm not endorsing it, you know? Because it's like, ha-ha, and that's it.
Yeah.
Then we move on.
It is. It's like, it's just played out at this point.
Getting a little tired, that's for sure.
Oh.
It's getting stale.
What's 10 days from now? NFL kickoff?
Yes.
Where is that taking place
Philadelphia.
Again?
Uh-oh. And green?
Go Birds.
Go Birds!
Yeah. I think that, Columbus, Ohio.
I got a device for the chance. Birds. We're going to throw it on the field. After going to Wawa. We get a hoagie. Maybe cheesesteak.
I don't think that a PGA event, a non-major PGA event, is like a big enough deal. It's like, you're not getting the payoff. Like, my mind goes to like the biggest football games, or just the biggest football games this weekend or next weekend.
Yeah, that's fair.
Where it's like, that's how you, because if you throw it, you know, some random, you know, Georgia's playing Marshall, like, no one's watching that. That's on SEC Network.
So you are suggesting, Sean, that some Texas Longhorn fans are known to throw things. Do you think that Texas Longhorn fans are going to do this against Ohio State?
I mean, I think Ohio State fans might do it.
They definitely could, but what if a Texas fan does it as a false flag operation to get Ohio State punished? I don't know what the Big Ten's rules are for.
I sternly nod my head or shake my head at
nod?
It. Nod? Shake my head.
Freudian slip.
But also, you know, gets a free first down when we need it. You know? I don't know.
I mean, throwing devices has led to a overturned call in an SEC game. What'll happen in a Big Ten game?
Yeah, well, there. I mean, come on. Those are Dasani water. Those are $4 water bottles from the vendors at DKR.
Things are getting stale, guys. This is the bit that's been powering us through the summer.
They need to be bigger. What if that's how you evolve it? Bigger or more. Instead of one at
it's
an
like
event.
A pool noodle size?
Yeah, you get like the Mean Green Mafia, and you're throwing like seven of them at the same time.
Oh.
Where you're like, hey, 10 minutes left in the third quarter, we all do it. And it's, yeah, again, it's like 15.
Just launching them.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It just starts raining.
The views of Sean Mapes do not necessarily reflect the views of the Paul Gallant Show.
I'm just trying to help
just give him some new material.
It's
gotten stale. Jazz it up a little bit. You know what else has gotten stale? The Burning Man. Everything's stale, guys. It's August. Burning Man. Has anyone seen what's happening at Burning Man? Burning Man is this festival for like really rich people that also takes place in a desert. And apparently there's 50-mile-per-hour winds and they're blowing sands and tents everywhere. And everyone's having a miserable time. I kind of love watching this. I kind of love everyone having their own little mini fire fest. Mainly because I can't afford to go to something like Burning Man. But it is fun to watch all of these rich people like have a miserable time.
Yeah.
Paying tons of money to set up a tent in an area that will have some music, but not great music, most likely. Not a great band stuff. I'm assuming it's all like deep house and things like that. I mean, why would you want this? You're going to a desert. Is the views at night so beautiful? It's probably hot as balls. And then on top of that, you got dust blowing all over the place. Do you really want this? So, stale. Burning Man, Shador Sanders discourse, and throwing phallic items on a football field.
Apparently there's not a lineup at Burning Man.
Oh, I don't even know who's there?
It's an event where participants create their own experience, art, and performances within theme camps.
Oh, my God. Okay.
This is definitely the lamest one.
That is awful. Yeah, I'd rather engage in Shador Sanders' discourse.
Yeah.
Go to Burning Man or to be there.
What's the get-in price for this?
I'm assuming Burning Man prices are at least $1,000. Yes. I mean, shoot, ACL is like $300 now.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that, like, people are actually having a bad of a time with the economy. If, like, you have Lollapalooza, you have Burning Man, you have Coachella, you have all these, you have ACL, you have all these music events that cost hundreds upon hundreds of dollars to attend.
What a racket.
Yeah, and, like, I can't afford to buy groceries. It's like, well,
stop going to this.
Stop going to this.
Stop paying so much on your nails and on your hair.
Yeah.
Ticket prices.
All this, you know, a lot of this is like 25-year-olds. So it's like,
yeah,
what
I guess,
are you doing?
Or big tech people. Yeah. Burning Man ticket prices start at $550. Ticket prices include $550, $650, $750, $950, $1,500, and I guess the highest is $3,000. Plus, you need to get a vehicle pass if you bring a vehicle, so that's $150. And there's a tax on top of that, 9%, and then a fee for each ticket, and a fee for the vehicle pass, and a credit card processing fee.
Oh, my God.
And then you got to travel there, so yeah. Either you're flying or you are driving out there, and you need food, water, camping equipment. None of these are provided. RV rental. But I'm sure that they have some sort of racket if you're renting your own RV
yeah,
there
I
where it
sucks. I can't imagine that that's...
And there's camp dues. But if you have financial hardship, there is a ticket aid program. A limited number of discounted tickets are available through an application process for participants on limited incomes.
What's the interest fees on that? I imagine, right? It's a payment plan.
It's a payment plan, yeah. That's wild. So it's kind of funny to see that Burning Man's a miserable time. Anyway, guys, it is the Paul Gallant Show. What do you want from us? It's August. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Stay there.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 975. The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
It's a Spice It Up Monday. We're just going to start that. Spice It Up Monday, everybody. How do you spice things up? Because things are starting to get stale. The Shador Sanders discourse, Astros games, there's always something missing. Sometimes it's offense. Sometimes it's pitching. They're not going to go 162-0. Not cool. They're not likely to have a first-round bye in the American League playoffs, given the way things are going of late. So we got to spice it up. People are doing the same thing at every single game that they go to. Everyone's gotten a bit tired. We're throwing lime green, neon green phallic devices onto the field to pass the time. Someone suggested throwing inflatable blow-up dolls. That could be fun. You know? If you could, I'm sure it wouldn't be that hard to fit the doll in your pocket.
Uninflated.
How quickly could you inflate it while you're there is really the big question. But it's not going to harm anyone. It just might be, I don't know, a
might
little
be hard to
get throw
the distance
it,
on it.
To turn into the new beach ball. Beach balls used to be a thing, you know? That was how you passed the time at a sporting event. Now you got this device that people use for naughty purposes that's being passed from one person to the next. It could be bad for the children. And that's the interesting thing is these things are becoming, I think, just less and less a place for kids. No, like sporting events, because of the actions of a very few, because we're talking fights and we're talking hammered people.
Yeah, I mean, some people fight their kids. Shout out to
That's true.
Johnson family.
The Johnson family after the Kansas State-Iowa State game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Ireland, which I think it being in Ireland plays a part. I'll just say it.
Right.
Just say it.
Everyone's absolutely wrecked there. But they were trying to spice it up after the game.
Yeah, but I agree with you that it is like a more, I don't know. It does feel like, especially like NFL games. Like, we'll see it in a couple weeks where I guess maybe it's just social media and everyone's recording everything now.
That's it.
But I think there's so many more fights in NFL games than I've ever seen before. And it started like, I guess a few years ago where it's just, it feels like every week there's several like viral fights at one of these games in the stands.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because I wouldn't say that like, teams' home field advantages have gotten any better. Like, it doesn't seem like it's harder to win a road game or that crowds are louder than they used to be. It's just like they're just more obnoxious.
They're definitely more obnoxious.
There's just more infighting, I guess. I don't know. There's a fight at a preseason game last week.
Yeah, it's usually only a select few fan bases that actually do battle with another fan base. We saw that Saints fan and Jaguars fan, which is not a fight I expected to ever see.
Yeah,
the big time rivalries, but it's usually Dodgers and Padres fans. Honestly.
Yeah,
it's usually Dodgers fans and somebody else.
Yeah, yeah, and then in football, it is kind of just like you expect Raiders, you expect Rams. And then after that, it's pretty equal opportunity of like people take, you know,
Cowboys.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's Cowboys have a big fighting culture. I would say in the
Eagles.
Eagles. Yeah. But then you'll see a clip of like, why are Arizona Cardinals fans fighting? Like, what? No disrespect, but why do they have to be so worked up about? I didn't think they were that worked up about a team that's, you know, probably going to be a couple games under 500.
Probably. Some people are suggesting other things to throw. No, that device definitely not. And the blow up doll is, I think, the way to go if you're going to do something. But again, there's kids there, and that's the funny thing. It's like the shame is gone.
Well, that's why they like end up getting arrested for this. Like, that's why all the people who've done it so far like get arrested 3 days later.
Yeah,
because they track them down because we're always being monitored, and then boom, sorry. Sorry, dude.
Goodbye. It's over. Yeah. By the way, when we're talking about over, it would be nice if ESPN could stop doing things that make it more difficult for us. And I know that, like, we are ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, and we play some of their programming. But wouldn't it be nice if it would be over cringe social media posts about ESPN? Did anyone see the most recent mural that they put out? They do this, I feel like, every 2 years, and then they end up deleting it.
It's a big summertime thing, I feel like. I feel like every summer they like throw together a social media post. Because remember the one that, I think it was like for the World Cup or something?
Yes.
Where like it had athletes, but also like the cast of Friends and Iron Man, and it was about like being patriotic.
Yeah,
it just had like a random collection of, I guess they're all Americans, but then they threw in fictional people as well.
Yeah, they're right. Yeah, it was actual
fictional
people.
Because it would be like the Stranger Things kids, also Christian Pulisic.
I guess it was Bleacher Report the last time.
Okay.
That they
okay.
did One Nation, One Team.
And that's the one with like Iron Man on it.
Yes, I think so. So now you have SportsCenter posting a graphic with all the icons, 11 WNBA players, 10 NFL players, 5 college football players, Mina Kimes' dog, Brian Windhorst, amongst others.
I like that the dog's in there.
No Scottie Scheffler. No Paul Skeens. A bunch of randos, and no offense, every WNBA player not named Caitlin Clark is a rando in the eyes of the majority of people. And that's the balance. There are some guys who haven't even played in college yet that were on it. The guy from Michigan, right? Was it Bryce Underwood?
Yeah, Bryce Underwood.
Bryce Underwood, what?
I didn't know he was on it.
But yeah, he's on it.
For Michigan.
He's on it. He hasn't even played a snap.
I wonder if they do it by... Well, obviously, the protocol or the, you know, however they came up with this, there's probably not a consistent logic. But I wonder if it's like SEO rankings or something. Like if it's like just who's the buzziest people.
Who's the buzziest?
Yeah. Just like because like Arch Manning's on there and Bryce Underwood's on there. And then but not Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
Not like is Rory on there? Like that's where it becomes interesting of like, is it just like here's who generates First Take cut topics. And also here's Mina Kimes and her dog. Which again, if you're gonna do a giant mural, like I actually don't want it to be like the top 100 athletes or top 100 whatever sports people of the year. Make it ridiculous for me, please. Like, please throw in someone's dog. Please throw in a mascot. If a mascot was on there, I'd be pro that. If just you're scrolling through and you're like, wait, why is the Philly Fanatic next to Tiger Woods?
Yeah, the Philly Fanatic.
Like, just do it. Like, if you're gonna do it fun. Make it fun for me. Have the cast of Friends.
Instead, they end up rage baiting, which has gotten stale. I feel like everything now is being put online, and it's to generate a reaction. But they didn't stand in the pocket. They deleted it, and we look bad by association. I'm tired of saying, hey, this is where I work, and then people are like, well, you work at woke ESPN. I'm like, no, I work for a radio station that's one of a bunch of radio stations across the country that also plays national ESPN programming. I don't know how similar we are to the majority of the ESPN family, but we're a part of it. I have a little bit of pride in the fact that I work for the four-letter network in a way, but I feel like we just deal with more of this than we deal with actual perks of working with the four-letter network these days. You know, it's not like the people at the Four Letter Network are readily available for us to have on as a guest or anything like that. No, it's the complete opposite. Instead, it's every month or so, we're going to have some post that we get blamed for or lumped in by association with. And it annoys me. It would be nice if ESPN could go like a month without doing that. That's all. You know, is that too much to ask for?
Well, if they go the other way, they just start
lean
posting.
Into it.
No, they just start posting like Andrew Tate, like Andrew Tate's in this mural.
I'm surprised they haven't.
Like just.
I'm surprised they didn't take cues from the election and then like right afterwards just completely grift for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
But now it's too late. Like now I think things have centered. Things have centered again where people are like, okay, we get it. You're grifting. So they missed the boat on that.
I feel like the Cracker Barrel. Manufactured outrage is the like breaking point of like, guys, you can't blame everything that happens on one political ideology.
Yeah.
Like some
well,
things
should be, at least.
Some things are just like a stupid brand making a mistake, like
yeah.
changing their logo. Like that can just happen. Like it's not because of some grander thing.
Cracker Barrel sucks, guys. It sucks. Like it's awful.
That I mean, I've literally never been. I've never like.
Went twice.
Felt like going.
It's as I said on Friday, it's, hey, is there a gas station that I need to stop? Does this rest stop have a Cracker Barrel? Oh, okay. That's pretty good for options at a rest stop. You know, it's an actual restaurant.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what I thought. It was like a sit-down restaurant, right?
Right, but it's like generally on the highway. Like that's.
Oh, okay. I get it.
I think the last time I went to one, it was... like highway side. I was like, okay. I mean, could be worse, you know? This is better than Sparrow. No offense, Sparrow.
Ouch.
Drive by right there.
Sparrow's like, what the hell
do we Sparrow's like, what do we do? But I mean, again, like there's
our logo.
Hey, look, there's a restaurant on the side of the road. That's cool. If there's other ones, I'm probably gonna go there. But
yeah.
We need more Cheesecake Factories. Although apparently Cheesecake Factory's quality has gone downhill too. Like I would love that's if I could go anywhere.
I feel like those are next to malls a lot.
Yes,
right?
They are. Yes,
yeah, that's
yes.
more of a mall.
A mall thing. Yeah, the malls a little dicey these days. You know,
keep your head. That and a Galleria's, NFL game and a WNBA game.
Galleria is making Guns Point look like a Chuck E. Cheese for God's sake. It's getting rough out there down the street.
You know? Right there.
Yeah, right there. Oh, gunshot. Damn. Just kidding. Paul Gallant Show, that's Sean Mavis behind the glass. We are 10 days away from the start of the NFL season. What? I know, it's crazy. Stick around.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant.
10 days away from the start of the NFL season. We are so close. We are less than 2 weeks away from the Thursday night opener. Eagles, Cowboys, at the Link. I'm sure there will be some fights in the parking lot there. And I'm sure there will be some phallic devices thrown onto the field. Will NBC actually show them? That is the real question. Who is the best number 10 in NFL history? Surprisingly, this number, not as popular as you would think. Hall of Famers who have worn number 10. Fran Tarkenton played for the Vikings back in the day. John McNally, who I believe also went by John Blood McNally. Duke Slater, Jan Stenerud, and I guess Kurt Warner wore it for a little bit of time. 10, not a great number, unless we're talking about one guy who, I just can't remember his name. Can't remember his name. I don't know what it is about him. He's won a couple of big games, you know?
Oh, Tyreek Hill, yeah.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill. Big time number 10. Eli Manning. Yes.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins was a great number 10. As far as Houston Texans, that's the best number 10. That's the best number 10 in Texas history. He is borderline Ring of Honor. But yeah, Eli Manning's
He'd have a better chance if he was DeAndre McNair, but I think he still has a good chance.
DeAndre McNair.
Just historically, yeah, you have a better
chance. Yeah, right. If you're a McNair, you get in. Davis Mills, shout out. There's only been two number 10s in Texans history, DeAndre Hopkins and Davis Mills. It's kind of weird because 10 is, for soccer, it is generally the most popular number, but for whatever reason, not the case in the National Football League. Anyway, what's going on in the National Football League? We do have a contract extension for Terry McLaurin with the Washington Commanders. He signed a 3-year deal today worth up to $96 million. He gets a $30 million signing bonus in the deal. He requested a trade July 31st. Washington never considered it. Generally, holdouts end like this, which I think is how the Micah Parsons holdout is going to end. I think a deal is going to be struck. I think that they are both playing hardball with one another. I don't think things ever get burned between two parties when it comes to negotiating a deal in the NFL to the point where there's no return unless it involves the Cincinnati Bengals. And by the way, we have an amazing new Cincinnati Bengals story. I don't know how many people saw this, but I know a lot of people have been aware for a while that the Cincinnati Bengals are one of the cheapest organizations in the National Football League. Per Boomer Esiason, who you might know more as somebody who was a regular voice on CBS, their NFL coverage, is one of the best Bengals ever. He was their quarterback in the, I think, late 80s, early 90s, the post-Ken Anderson years. Also had a little run with the New York Jets. He was invited to the Bengals Ring of Honor event this season. He is in the Bengals Ring of Honor, as is Corey Dillon, Bengals running back, who I think was inducted in last year. But he was told via a generic invite he'd have to pay his own way, including hotel, but at a discounted rate. So he read out the invite on his actual radio show, which you can hear on WFAN up in New York City, which is amazing. It is pretty wild that they're not going to pay for this one guy. It's also even more wild that they forgot to invite Corey Dillon. They forgot to invite him.
That's bad.
That's unbelievable.
I think it's
on brand, and now it's bad.
Yeah, it's also bad that Boomer or any of the Ring of Honor guys didn't get like a somewhat personalized email for this. Because it was like...
Hello, blank.
Yeah, no, it was like, hello, valued member of the Bengals family. It was like, just like, you could, that could be about literally anybody.
Could be a chef, could be a trainer, could be
a fan.
A janitor, right. Like,
they called them the part of the family. So yeah, it was terrible. It was great radio. It was just like 4.5 minutes long, and there's nothing that you can really cut from it. So I didn't, you know, I wasn't like, oh my god, we had to play this. But if you want to go and listen to it, because you can hear like Boomer and it's Gio, right?
Yes.
Gio, yeah. You can hear them get more and more like WTF, like
as the letter goes on.
As they're explaining it and reading the thing, that's just more and more like, wait, what? Like you have to pay for a hotel?
You have to pay for Gatorade there. Jonathan Joseph, who is one of the best Texans cornerbacks ever.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it's probably him number one right now.
It's him number one right now.
And Derek Stingley is knocking on the door.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Joseph would talk about how you had to pay for Gatorade. It's just wild,
yeah,
that an organization would operate this way. And I get that these players are making a lot of money and stuff, but to see that organization relative to other ones and the owner be aware enough of these criticisms to the point where this offseason he said, I'm not cheap, actually acknowledged it. These stories pop up annually with the Bengals. And it is a shame. I feel for Bengals fans. They have some really awesome players in town right now. And, hey, they finally started paying some of them. But this Trey Hendrickson situation, you know, we talk about how Terry McLaurin just got a new deal. And how Micah Parsons probably will get a new deal. Trey Hendrickson, I don't know.
No.
And that's still just a cloud over this organization. And by the way, he is their best defensive player. Their defense is the reason that they didn't make the playoffs last year.
Yeah, yeah, he was the
lone
bright spot, really, on their defense. It was not just a bad defense. It was one of the worst defenses in football. That's how they missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it is embarrassing, and it is something of when they make the Super Bowl a few years ago, and you're like, oh, wow, so really you are just nailing a couple draft picks away from being a real deal title contender. It is true that they were very close to winning that Super Bowl, but it's also you kind of need to take advantage of that opportunity because you are such a poorly run team that you don't get the, like, well, you're going to have 5 more years of these guys on rookie contracts and then you'll just have, it's like, no, it's a terrible organization, therefore these guys are going to mess it up or make it way harder for them to continue to compete at the highest level.
Yeah, if they had a little more money, I don't even think that they would operate this way. Clearly, they're in a smaller market, and it's not in the most wealthy part of the country. You know, I mean, Cincinnati's airport's in Kentucky, and Kentucky is an area that doesn't exactly have that much going on for it. I'm assuming Cincinnati is similar when it comes to that. But I feel awful for that fan base because this has been discussed for years and years and years. It feels like there's an event annually where you're like, yep, we're still exactly who we've always been.
Yeah. You can, like, mark it on the calendar.
At some point.
And not just, like, an embarrassing thing that, like, is embarrassing in Cincinnati. It's, like, it makes national news how embarrassing and small-time your team looks to, or seems to be run.
Sean McVay said this today as we continue our trip around the National Football League. Matt Stafford should be ready to roll week one for the Rams against the Houston Texans at SoFi Stadium.
Ready to roll like he's in a wheelchair or on a gurney?
Well, some people think he's dead. I can't see into the future, but if you look at what the last week has entailed, feel really good. There's nothing that would lead me to believe, unless we have an unforeseen setback, that he's not going to be ready to roll against the Texans, Sean. I'm assuming rolling means roll out of the pocket. I'm assuming roll means he's not in a chair. Or in a gurney.
Okay. We'll see. We'll obviously see. There is a little bit of just like traces of DNA from Dana Brown and Joe Espada sound where it's like so many qualifiers to eventually go, I think he'll play.
Yeah, but a little plausible deniability.
I can't see the future. Obviously, we'll see how it goes. Blah, 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 blah. Long way away. But I think he plays. I think he's ready to roll, despite all that. Despite what I said for the first 20 seconds of this, yeah. I think he plays.
Wrapping up our 10-minute drill, do not call Michael Penix Michael Penis. Okay, good to know. Someone did that at a game.
Yeah, and he called him
as he was walking off the field, and he went up to him, and the person backtracked a little bit.
Yeah, not a full you suck too moment, but he stepped to him.
You got to know this is going to happen, man. That's not me saying what the fan did is right. I'm just saying if you act like this in response.
Yeah, after 25 years of that being your last name. And
yeah, 25. I forgot about that. He's more mature than most second-year quarterbacks. Like,
if you got through high school, like, you have to have had a better defense mechanism or better, you know, ability to let this roll off your back than, what'd you say?
Yeah.
It's Penix.
Yeah.
Like, just, I would have thought he had something better. Although, he was probably the most popular kid in school because he ended up being an NFL quarterback, so I don't know how many people are taking shots at him.
I don't know, though.
I know.
It's so easy.
He did end up going to, like, Indiana, so it's not like he was, like, a super five-star.
No, that's also true. That's also true. Gotta let that roll off the shoulders, bud.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all.
Bad look, but, you know.
I mean, it's justifiable.
I still think he's going to be awesome based off of, like, three college football games.
Looked really good against Texas.
I refuse to believe that guy is bad at football.
He looked pretty good. That is Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Let me tell you about my friends at St. Arnold. St. Arnold has a beer for everyone. They have a beer garden that's a place for everyone. Fantastic spot. We hung out there on my birthday as a station. Good old time back in April. And for private events, they've got a space for everyone. And that's where we will be hosting our ESPN Houston listener party in a couple of days. We're still giving tickets away. You can have your private event at St. Arnold, whether it's a wedding, family reunion, a holiday gathering. For space, they've got 20 people spaces. They've got 300 people spaces. It's a awesome, awesome place to host whatever you need to host. Every single one of these rooms has a full audio and visual capability with projectors, screens, and a full in-house catering menu that's prepared by the St. Arnold chef. There's an appetizer table even. Really good food at St. Arnold's, by the way, in case you haven't been there and eaten there before. And of course, beer for your event, the freshest St. Arnold beer in the world, straight from the source with wine, cider, and root beer too. Book your event now. Holiday parties, come on. Running out of time. Get that prime date that you're looking for a daytime rental or evening event, weekday or weekend. And since you listen to ESPN 975 925, if you mention ESPN or my name, Gallant, you'll receive their brewery game package free for your event, which gets you dartboards, Jenga, cornhole, pool table, and as a bonus, a photo booth. Got smoked in cornhole over the weekend. Get started at StArnold.com. Click on private events. That's StArnold.com, private events, and tell them Paul Gallant sent you.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. And on Twitch at ESPN 975. Astros took 2 of 3 over the weekend against the Orioles. 3 out of 4 overall. They are off tonight before 3 games against the Colorado Rockies. The worst team in baseball starting tomorrow. Rockies have 37 wins. Sean, can you guess how many losses they have right now?
70?
94.
It's bad math. I should have known that.
Yeah,
it's
fine.
More than 100 games. But
it's
fine.
You think of a team having 30 wins and you're like, okay, if they're bad, that's probably like early, 30 and 70. They're 37-94.
37. So they might not get to 50 wins.
They won't get to 50 wins. I would think at this point in time, it's
yeah,
over.
Actually, they're not going to win. I mean,
let's by the
not,
way, 5-5 in their last 10.
Let's not count our chickens before they or eggs before they hatch.
Yeah, eggs before they hatch.
But yeah, they need 13 wins in a month, basically. So yeah,
I'm going to tell you all the last place teams in the majors.
Okay,
and you have to guess after I tell you how far out of first place all these teams are. You have to guess where the Rockies are. Orioles, 15 and a half games out of first place in the AL East. White Sox, 30 games out of first place in the AL Central.
The Tigers have the best record in the American League.
That is correct. The A's, 12 and a half games out of first place in the AL West.
They're still alive in this race.
Technically alive. The Nationals, 23 games out of first place in the NL East. The Pirates, 24 games out of first place in the NL Central. Sean Mapes, can you guess how many games out of first place the already eliminated Colorado Rockies? The only team that's eliminated, the White Sox not eliminated yet.
So they're eliminated already.
Correct.
So they have to be like 38 games out?
Oh, you were close. 37.
37.
37 games out of first. Can't lose any of these games against the Rockies.
Hell
you can't.
No. Like, it's hard to be like, you have to sweep a team.
Oh, you have to.
You kind of have to sweep this team.
You have to sweep. They have lost four in a row. They just got swept by the Pirates, who also
not a great team.
Yeah, not a very good squad that they have.
I saw the probable starters for the Rockies this week. I think the best ERA is like in the 6-7 range. I think the other two guys that are trodden out there are over a 7 ERA.
Tanner Gordon, who starts Tuesday for the Rockies, 7.11 ERA. Chase Dolander, who starts Wednesday for the Rockies, a 6.91 ERA.
Yeah, okay.
And Antonio Senzatela has a 7.14 ERA. Their records,
so they have a combined, combined ERA of like 20.
It's not great. Tanner is 4-5. Somehow, with his 7.11
ERA. A lot
of
run support. He gets a lot of run support.
Chase Dolander is 2-10 with his 6.91 ERA. Okay. And Antonio Senzatela is 4-15. So, again, you are playing some real bums over the next couple of games. And, look, sometimes you got to throw the records out. Because we are talking about the Astros... you know,
protected rival in the NL.
By the way, the
potential future division mate.
That's also true. But hey, listen, the Rockies beat the Astros once this year. They did beat them. And this is while the Astros were playing their best ball. This was right before the 4th of July series sweep against the Dodgers. That was the random loss in the middle of a bunch of series against the Phillies.
Yeah.
And against the Cubs.
Yeah.
Where they, and against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they only won 2 of 3 against the Colorado Rockies.
If I'm Joe Espada, I'm playing that game on repeat around the facility.
Yeah.
Like, we cannot let this happen again.
7-6, the final score of that game. Yeah, man. The loss, Jordan Weems. Jordan Weems had the loss. I think this was one of those games where the Astros had an opener. I don't remember it very well. It was the last game of the series.
I have literally no memory of that.
Oh, no, it was a Brandon Walter start. Brandon Walter, pour one out. Brandon Walter, Jordan Weems, and Caleb Ort pitched for the Astros in that game. Listen, I'm just saying, you can't take them lightly. And Joe Espada, I'm not putting him on the hot seat, but as a bit, I would think about putting him on the hot seat if he loses any of the games against the Rockies coming up. Two losses against the Rockies this season? Yeah, 4-2. Two losses?
He lost to this team twice?
Someone will actually
in one in Daikin Park. Come on, you can't have the Rockies, the bitter rivals, coming in to Daikin Park and coming out with a win.
No, you
just
can't.
Can't have
it. You can't. And now you got to go to their house.
Who did the Mariners play?
The Seattle Mariners, over the next couple of games, are playing the San Diego Padres. So, okay. Theoretically, the Padres, who lead the National League West, 74-57,
okay, so they're the
just
team
took two or three against the Dodgers.
They're 37 games better than the team that the Astros are playing.
That is the first place team, yes. Theoretically, this should help the Astros build their lead.
Okay.
However, you never know. You never know. And the Padres are not very good on the road this year.
Oh, God.
31-35. That would be crazy. 31-55 away. 31-35 on the road. Going up to T-Mobile Park.
Have to deal with the Marine layer
and
a red-hot Cal Raleigh.
That's true, too. Home run 48, home run 49 last night.
I hope he beats Judge's record.
I do, too.
I'm pulling for him.
But
Judge's, it'll just be so funny.
But at the same time.
Lose.
Yeah, you need to lose these
solo
games.
Home runs where your starting pitching gets shelled.
The Phillies have lost. Excuse me. These Mariners have lost seven. Check that. Let's do a little math here.
I know
they've lost
swept,
6 of 8.
Yeah. They got swept by the Phillies, right?
Mm-hmm. And if we're going a little bit further back, they have lost 7 of 10. So, come on. Figure it out. No room for quarter against the Colorado Rockies. Run up the score. Run up score. It's not worth winning if you can't win big. From the 7-1-3, doesn't matter. They'll somehow no-hit us. Come on.
Yeah, I mean,
this fan base sometimes.
Dolander guy, he has random dude with the 10 ERA that has a career year. Is he from, like,
just
Cyprus?
Just because Brandon Young did it. Chase Dolander is from Evans, Georgia.
Okay.
Antonio Senzatela is from Valencia, Venezuela. He's 30 years old. Maybe he's got something on Altuve that we don't know about. And Tanner Gordon is from Champaign, Illinois.
Okay. Okay. That's good. Because I feel like also if a guy's from the area, you'll get the rant. And maybe it's just because for some reason everyone mentions it.
It is definitely just because everyone mentions it.
Yeah. Where you're just like, is this guy awesome because he's from 30 miles away from where this game is going to be played?
Could be. Could be. So they're off tonight. Should have swept the Orioles over the weekend in a series where there's always just a little something missing. Where either it was in the first two games, rough starts by both Lance McCullers or Christian Javier. And yesterday, Spencer Arrighetti had the best start of the weekend.
It was like fine. Ball. It was like the most fine.
It was fine. It was fine.
For a series that was kind of just a fine series of in the win-loss record, they did what they had to do, but you were not like blown away by anything. I didn't feel like they got right or anything.
I left a little disappointed because I'm thinking to myself, hey, this Orioles team doesn't have a lot to play for. You do at least make some progress here, and I feel like it was pitchers that we still have questions about being questionable.
Yeah.
And an offense that gets so many opportunities with runners in scoring position, not taking advantage of those yesterday, where I think they left, what was the number yesterday? I think they were 3 for 11 with runners in scoring position against the Orioles yesterday. Yes, they left 8 on base.
It will help, or maybe it's setting up for even more disappointment. That in this series, you're going to get Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, and Jason Alexander.
It should, but I mean, like, that's also...
Framber Valdez, I'm keeping an eye on
Framber against the Rockies. Yeah, and it's at Coors Field.
No funny... No, it's in Daikin.
Oh, my bad, I forgot. Yeah, they're coming back. They're coming back home.
But yeah, I'm keeping an eye on that Wednesday night game.
Got to. He is Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston and Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Stay there.
ESPN 97.5.